Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We live in an interesting time right now. You know, things have developed in such a way that it's become increasingly difficult for us to wait for stuff. Because we have, everything is instant. I mean, it's like in the microwave and it's an instant meal. You know, what used to take hours to prepare, now you can put a glass of water in there and it's no longer moist, and you can put everything's instant. Instant messaging, instant answers. And if you dare not have your phone with you, you're in big trouble, because you need to be available so we can instantly get a reply. So everything has become, in this world, increasingly at your beck and call. You get an answer for every situation immediately, or most of the time it's like that. And it's also gotten to the point where when we don't get our instant results or instant answers or instant whatever, we get a little upset. The problem is we serve a God that doesn't always answer instantly. If you haven't noticed, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't work like now we send a text and get the answer straight away. Sometimes we still have to wait for God to give us the answer or the breakthrough that we're looking for. We have to wait. In this morning's message, I've entitled, "It's Worth the Wait." Because when God answers you, because most of the time when we're really in that desperate situation where we really need a breakthrough, when we need a miracle in whatever we're going through, whether it's our finances, whether it's healing, whether it's regarding your destiny, or just any kind of breakthrough, how many of you know when God answers that breakthrough, it's well worth the wait? So this morning I want to share with you a little bit about this. I want to share with you about how God makes us wait sometimes, because He's fulfilling His plan. He's fulfilling His destiny. And if you were here last Sunday night, you would have heard how God can set you up. And even while you're busy moaning and complaining, God is busy telling you about what He's going to do. Because it's ultimately His plan. Don't forget that. You know, I like you guys. I love you guys, actually. I really do. I never thought I would feel the way I do about people the way I do. I never thought that I would be able to do that. It must be supernatural, because I always wanted to be an evangelist that could just go into a building and prophesy and healing and just blow in and blow out, you know? Because people can be difficult. But I love them even with their problems. It's amazing. When I went overseas and I came back from overseas, I couldn't wait to be with the people in the church. I couldn't wait to minister with you. I enjoyed ministering overseas so much, but when I got back, it was just so good to be home with you guys. You know, so it's so you must understand that as your pastor, I'm going to tell you the truth. Is that okay? Because I really want to help you. And if you haven't gotten to the point yet where you've realized that it's not about you, I need to wake you up this morning, because it's not about you. We live in a society today that tries to teach you all about my rights. My rights. Well, I can believe this. Well, I can believe that. Well, I should do this. And, you know, homosexual, whatever. We live in this society where everything is acceptable, and if you don't like it, you're wrong. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible has statutes, limitations, laws. Those things are important for us to live by. And you'll find out this morning, if you don't, you're going to struggle. Because when God sometimes does cause you to wait, while you're waiting, you're changing. Because He wants to fulfill that He desires to do. Now, let me warn you, in the first service, I got very upset with someone who fell asleep. Don't fall asleep, okay? Because I will come after you. Amen. So let's start out by reading this scripture. Let's go to Habakkuk 1 verse number 2. Habakkuk 1 verse number 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. There will be times in your walk with God, and you might be going through one of those times right now, where you just kind of feel like, oh God, where are you? Why have you not answered my prayers? Or why am I going through this situation? Or why are things so difficult in my marriage? Or why are my finances so bad? Or why is my job not, my boss not giving me an increase or a promotion or whatever it is that you're trusting God for? You might be in a situation where you're crying out to God saying, where are you and why have you not helped me? And it's right in that moment, in that place, where you can have your greatest breakthrough. You see, oftentimes we give up just before God's about to come through for us in an incredible way. And I'm going to show you that this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of people's lives. But what does waiting on the Lord really mean? What it basically means, it means to wait for God to intervene in your situation. The problem is that we don't do that so many times. And when we don't wait for God to intervene, then we intervene. And unfortunately, it causes us to have natural results. If you need a miracle in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your job, in your personal issues, with depression, with addiction, if you need a miracle, then how many of you know you need a miracle from God? The answer is not going to come naturally. You need a supernatural breakthrough. You need a divine intervention. And let me tell you this morning, it's important for you to understand that you serve a God who is supernatural. He is not natural. He's not a man that he should lie. Every word in his book is truth. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's very important for us to understand that God can give you an incredible breakthrough, but you have to wait sometimes. What's difficult is that literally just that waiting part. Waiting for him to intervene. That's the first thing. The second thing is while we're waiting, it's sometimes extremely difficult for us because it's hard for us to stay obedient. To not lean on the flesh for an answer, for a solution. Well, if God's not going to give me a breakthrough, I'm just going to go back to drinking. Well, if God's not going to do anything, then I'm just going to leave my marriage. Well, if God's not going to do anything, I'm just going to quit my job. Just before you get the breakthrough. Just before you get the miracle. Just before you get the greatest thing that God has for you, you throw in the towel. And let me tell you something. You might be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Alex, you don't know my circumstances. Have you read the story of Joseph? The guy should have given up many times, but he didn't. Abraham had to wait more than 25 years for his promise of a son. What did he do? He didn't wait for God's promise. He did his own thing in the flesh. And guess what? It caused some issues. The reality is those issues are still here today. We need to learn to wait for him. Be obedient to him while we're waiting. Let me talk to you just a little bit about the story of Joseph. Let's go to 105, Psalm 105, verse 16. But before we read that, let me talk to you a little bit about him. Joseph has these amazing dreams, and he's got tremendous favor on his life. His father, his earthly father, favors him above all his brothers. It's not really fair, but it just is what it is, right? Don't be like that, dads. Anyway, so he favors Joseph over everyone. He gives him a technicolored coat, and all the other brothers have a normal coat. And he's got favor. He doesn't have to go out and tend to the sheep. He studies and he learns stuff. And in the dreams that he has, he's going to be served. And you know, there's a certain amount of stars, 11 stars that bow down before him, and wheat that bows down before him. And he also has this ability to interpret these dreams. So Joseph is seeing this incredible destiny. His brothers are going to worship him and all this stuff. And they get all upset and angry to the point where his brothers want to kill him. If you go study it. They didn't want to put him in a pit. It was one of his brothers out of his 11. Reuben was the one who said, no, we can't kill him. But they actually wanted him dead. Let's just start there. Imagine if your family wanted you dead. Now, some of you might actually have been through something like that. So I want you to understand that you are not alone. He has one situation in the Bible where they all want him dead. So one saves him. Somehow he gets saved. He gets thrown into a pit. While he's in the pit, they decide to sell him into slavery. So now he gets sold as a slave. Someone that's lived like a king in his father's house, that's been taken care of, that's been provided for. Now all of a sudden his whole world comes crashing down. Many people will quit right there. But Joseph continues on. And when he gets to Potiphar's house in Egypt, he becomes a good servant. So Potiphar gives him favor. Many times in your walk with God, you'll feel like you're just getting the breakthrough and things are just starting to go well. But for Joseph, that's what happened. But suddenly, all of a sudden, it changes again. Because Potiphar's wife decides she wants to seduce him. He doesn't accept that seduction. Bad lady. He doesn't accept it. And because of that, she accuses him and he gets thrown into prison. Now he's in prison. First, his brothers abandon him. They want to kill him. He gets thrown in a pit of betrayal, gets sold into slavery. Things finally start getting good for him. Now he gets thrown into prison. And you need to know that this is not a matter of days. This is a matter of years. How many of you know it's not always easy? But the guy was marked. God had a plan for his life. And while he was in prison, he begins to interpret the dreams of two of the other guys in prison. And he says to the one, he says, when you go out, tell Pharaoh about me, a little bit of hope. And guess what happens? He doesn't do it. But many years, a season later, when Pharaoh needs dreams interpreted, Joseph comes before him, taken out of prison, and comes before him and interprets the dreams of Pharaoh. You see, the gifts and the callings, the purposes of God will always be dormant in you and will always be there, available to come out and be used as long as you continue on and stay obedient to God, even when it doesn't look good. If you study Joseph, he always says, these are not my dreams, these are from God. So he stayed faithful, even though he probably wanted to throw in the towel so many times. Then Pharaoh takes him out and appoints him to be almost the highest underneath him and gives him almost royalty. And in that moment, his brothers come back. If you study it and you read the whole story, it's so powerful. He has Pharaoh's dreams about 7 years of famine and 7 good years. And when everything's going bad, guess what? Joseph's family comes to Pharaoh to ask for food. And who's in charge? Joseph's in charge. And everything God said would come to pass, came to pass. They came and they had to bow down before him humbly to just receive anything from him. Isn't it incredible? And God ends up answering his prayers. God gives him a new day, a new season, a new beginning. And the moral of the story is that when you're going through whatever it is you're struggling with right now, you need to learn to wait for God. Don't throw in the towel. Listen, Joseph could have said, this is too much, and killed himself. He could have done whatever it was. He could have thrown in the towel, given up, but he chose to continue on to stick it out. Now, let me show you what happens when you do that. Are you guys all okay in Vero Beach this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's first read this. Psalm 105, verse number 16. Watch this now. Moreover, he, this is God now, called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters and he was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. Whose word? Joseph's word. The word that was declared over Joseph had to come to pass. It did come to pass. Can you say amen? But you must understand that that word of the Lord will test you. Oh, you know, not today. Today we don't need to be tested anymore. We all have grace. Yes, I understand that. But destiny costs you something. Salvation is free. But if you want to do something for God, if you want God to use you, I'm telling you, it will cost you something. The word of the Lord will test you. It will test you, and it tested Joseph. Can you say amen? Now, let's go to Psalm 40, verse number 1. Psalm 40, verse number 1. You guys need to bring your Bibles to church, man. Psalm 40, verse number 1. What happens when we wait for God? This is David now. I don't exactly know when he wrote this psalm, but it's very powerful. I waited patiently for the Lord. Let's stop right there. That word, or those two words, waited patiently, is a very powerful Hebrew word. And I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but it's a powerful Hebrew word. And what it basically says is it says to wait, or to hope, or to expect. So in other words, while you're going through whatever it is you're going through, whatever the situation is in your life right now, the trial, the tribulation, the test, the problem, the issue, the marriage, the finances, whatever it is, while you're going through it, the moral of the story, the key to success, the key to getting the breakthrough is to wait on the Lord. Patiently wait. Wait patiently. In other words, stay in a situation, in a posture of hoping. Stay in a posture to expect, to wait for God. Don't give up. Can you say amen? I want to show you how serious it actually is for him. He says he's waiting. He's waiting for God. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He inclined to me. The words inclined to me in the Hebrew means that God stretched out to him. He stretches out to you. In other words, when you're in a situation when you're supposed to wait, where God's wanting you to wait, but the world system and everything we now have to face in this life, which is instant answers, instant success, instant everything, instant anointing, instant. Go to a conference, they'll lay hands on you, you'll instantly be anointed. Instant. When you can say, okay, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to get through this situation. I'm going to wait with God. You see, it's not natural for you to say, okay, I'm going to do that. So the enemy's looking at you thinking you're gonna cave. You're gonna do something in your flesh. You're not gonna wait for God. But when you wait, what it does is it causes a response from God where he actually inclines himself. It actually says he bends forward towards you. It's like he steps up and takes a look at you and has a look because faith has moved him. Do you understand how powerful this is? Faith, your reaction, your response by not doing something drastic, but rather saying, I'm going to wait for God. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Things might be really bad in my marriage right now, but I'm not going to throw in the towel. I might not have the breakthrough in my job, but I'm not going to give up right now. I'm going to wait for you, God. I don't feel like they're using me the way they should in my church. Well, I'm going to wait for you, God. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep being loyal. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep seeking you. If you wait on God, it says that he'll incline to you. Watch. It's really powerful. It actually says, in the Hebrew, it says to extend towards you, to turn aside towards you, to bend. So it's almost like while he's doing everything he does, and how many of you know he does a lot, you get his attention when you wait. Because it's not the natural response. The natural response is to move ahead. The natural response is to get upset. And let me tell you something. If you've dealt with issues in your life, like rebellion, or you're a person that hasn't had patience in the past, this will be your greatest test. What are you going to do when the pressure comes? What are you going to do when all of a sudden you feel like you can't handle this anymore? You've got to get a breakthrough, or you've got to have something change, or you're just not going to keep going. That thing that's always been there, that's caused you to move ahead of God and not wait for him, is right there saying to you, come on, give up. And in that moment, you've got to just keep on fighting, and you've got to keep on trusting, and you've got to keep on believing that God's going to give you the breakthrough. And in that moment, he inclines himself towards you. Woo! Come on, somebody. He inclines himself towards you. He bends towards you. He sees you. Hallelujah. It says, and he heard my cry. He heard my cry. That's a powerful word there, the word heard in the Hebrew. It basically, or the word cry there basically means to scream. In other words, David's saying, listen, this is not me just feeling sorry for myself. I'm in a situation where I'm desperate for a breakthrough. God, I'm desperate for a breakthrough. And it says that basically that word cry suggests to scream or to basically cry out for help. He's not just feeling sorry for himself. This is a serious thing. You might be going through something very serious right now. I don't know what it is you're going through. But I want you to know that God will hear you if you cry out to Him, if you seek Him. Don't give up on whatever it is you're dealing with. There are people right here this morning, more than anything, I'm speaking to the couples that are struggling. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your wife. Don't give up on your husband. Listen, don't give up on those kids that have made a mistake and fallen again. Don't give up on them. Keep on praying. Keep on fighting. A lady came to me 2 weeks ago and she said, Pastor Alex, I've been praying for breakthrough with my children. I finally had a breakthrough with my daughter. Come on, somebody. You gotta wait. You gotta keep on holding on. The drugs are not gonna make you feel better. The booze is gonna take you back to where you used to be. Keep on waiting. Keep on waiting for God. It says, He also brought me out of a horrible pit. The word horrible there speaks of a crash or destruction or devastation. That's how serious it is. When you move ahead of God, it can be devastating. I know what I'm talking about. I have been there. Some of you have heard my testimony, some of you haven't. When I was in ministry before, I wanted to move ahead. I didn't want to wait. And because of that, things weren't working out well for me, and I took a break from the ministry that turned out to be 6 years. Give or take a year. It's a long time, right? And when I got to the point where I was, felt like I've had enough, I can't anymore. I wanted to throw in the towel. I even said to my mom, I don't even want to live anymore. Where is God? He's not answering me. Why is this happening? Why? I'm struggling to pray, God. I'm struggling to get a breakthrough. It feels like you don't even hear me. And I was in Chicago in my hotel room when it started. I was listening to worship music. It started in that room where I started crying out to Him, saying, Lord, I need You to take me out of this pit that I've gotten myself into. Me, I put myself there. I got myself to there. It wasn't You, it was me. And I got myself into that pit, but in that moment where I felt like giving up, I cried out like never before. And God restored me so supernaturally. It's a long story. I can't share it all with you. But I'm the aeroplane. I had an encounter, wrote a letter to Pastor Harold. It was powerful. And Pastor Mark, I wrote them a letter. And God restored me. And immediately in that moment, all I wanted to do was worship Him. Just spend time with Him. I wasn't even thinking about ministry. I wasn't thinking about my breakthrough. I just was so thankful to be in His presence. Don't rush ahead of Him. Otherwise, He will take you into the desert to see what's in your heart so that He can use you. And until you get to the point where you look at your own heart and go, this is disgusting, it stinks. Instead of thinking, don't you see how anointed I am, Pastor Alex? I know how anointed you are. Doesn't impress me. Show me your character. Show me your fruit. When you get upset, you rebel again or don't you? This is for somebody. Amen. Are you guys okay? Are you gonna take it now? Are you gonna stand through it now? Get through it now. Because when you do, God will pull you out of the devastation. He'll pull you out of the pit. He'll take you out of whatever it is. If you hold on, if you this time don't throw in the towel, if you don't get offended again, if you wait again, if you wait this time, if you stick it out, your miracle, your breakthrough's on the other side. Can you say amen? There's so many scenarios you can show. But the point is that it's a horrible situation, a horrible pit, a devastation, a destruction, a pitfall. The word pit there means pitfall or grave or prison. How many of you know that sometimes while you're waiting for God, it feels literally like you're in prison? But if you wait on Him, He will take you out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Miry clay is like when it just feels like you're stuck, you're not making any progress, you're just not getting through, nothing's happening. But if you wait on Him, He will take you out of that horrible pit. He will take you out of that miry clay. He will set your feet upon a rock and established His steps. Established my steps, it says. In other words, when you wait on God, He will get you through to the other side. And the next verse says, in verse number 3, it says, and He has put a new song in my mouth. Listen, when Joseph finally got to the other side, a new song, a new day was there. He was no longer locked up in prison. He was no longer the one that was sold for slavery. But now he'd become like a king. And he'd become the person God had called him to be right from the beginning. What he didn't realize that he would have to go through some trials. He would have to go through some tribulations. Listen, it didn't feel like grace while he was going through it. But it was grace. That's what he didn't realize. Because it got everything he needed for the whole of Israel to get saved. This is what we've got to realize, that God's going to take you. He might have to shake you a little bit. There might be some stuff in you that needs to be taken out of you so that He can get you to where He needs to get you so He can fulfill His plan for your life. Doesn't feel so good right now, Pastor Alex, I know. The pain of betrayal. Those drugs never look so good right now. Don't do it. Wait. Wait for the breakthrough. Wait for the new day that He will give you. He'll take you right out. Sometimes you'll feel like you'll go to bed. You'll think, I can't do it. I can't even. I've got so much anguish and anxiety and pain in my heart. I don't know what to do. Just wait. Just hang in there. Because your breakthrough is there. It's imminent. When you wait and you make that decision and you say to Him, Father, I'm waiting for You. In that moment, you can get that breakthrough. Listen, if His word says that it's truth, can you say amen? I'm almost done. I've got like one scripture left. Are you guys okay this morning? He'll put a new song in your mouth. Now watch. Praise to our God. Because many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. That is so powerful. What it's saying is that while you're going through all of this stuff, there are people that will be watching you, expecting you to cave in, expecting you to give up, expecting you to throw in the towel. But if you wait, they're going to watch you. And it says that it's going to change them. They're going to trust the Lord. They're going to see what's going to happen because you made a decision. That's your testimony. Your wife might be giving you a hard time. Your wife might be giving you hell. But you got to hang in there. You got to keep going. Because you see, just the fact that you keep on staying by, you keep on praying, you keep on seeking, might be the very thing that changes her heart. Instead of going, she doesn't take care of me anymore, she doesn't make breakfast for me anymore, Pastor, she doesn't do anything anymore. You be the one that brings the change. You be the one that wakes up earlier. You be the one that prays a little harder. You go pick up the kids from school. You make the sacrifice. I don't want to hear how bad your wife is. Amen. I need to behave now. Okay. Hang in there. And what you do will affect those around you because they expect you to give in. They expect you to go back to the drugs. They expect you to go back to the alcohol. They expect you to fall. They expect you to give up. They expect you to do something wrong. They expect you to do that bad deal. They're waiting for you to do it because you did it before. But this time you're going to wait. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for my God. I'm going to wait for you, Lord. Psalm 27, verse 13. Watch how powerful this is. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Can you say amen, church? Wait for Him. He will strengthen your heart. He'll get you through to the other side. Can we all stand for just a moment? Let's all stand for just a moment. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we thank You so much. Because You are such a good God. Father, in my own life, there have been so many times where I haven't waited for You. And when I haven't waited for You, I have felt that pain of not waiting for You. Lord, I pray that there would be in all of our lives, every one of us that's here this morning, that we would learn to be patient, that we would learn to wait and contradict that oppressiveness that comes from the enemy that wants us to move before that set time, before You say go, or before You say now here's the breakthrough, or before You give us anything we need, Father, in any circumstance or situation. I pray, Lord, this morning that You will cause us to just wait for You, to wait for Your Spirit, to wait for confirmation, to wait for Your Word, Lord, to wait, Lord, to take us out of the pit, to take us out of the prison, to take us away from the betrayal, Lord, that You would give them breakthrough. These precious people, they are Your people, Father, and I pray right now that You would just come, that You would come. Many need peace, Lord. Many need a breakthrough desperately, Father. I pray right now that You would give us patience, Lord, that You would give us wisdom, that we would wait for You, Lord, and most of all, Father, while we're waiting, that You would strengthen our hearts, that You would strengthen our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ. We worship You right now. Can you lift your hands right where you're standing and just begin to worship for just a moment? Come on, church, let's worship Him like He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Someone lift their voices and say, thank You, Jesus, for my breakthrough. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come on, lift your voices, lift your hands. If you need a breakthrough right now, lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm not going to give up this time. I'm going to wait for You. I'm going to wait for You. Come on. I'm going to wait.
We worship You.
We worship You.
Oh Lord, we worship You. We worship You. And we'll wait for You.
We wait for You, Lord. We wait for You, Lord.
We'll
thank You right now that You hear our cry this morning. For many are in the pit, for many are in desperate situations, Lord. And there You are their only hope, Father, for all the other stuff doesn't work. I pray right now that You will bring breakthrough. Breakthrough, 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 Father. Breakthrough in finances, breakthrough in marriages. Breakthrough, Father. Breakthrough in business deals. Breakthrough in their lives, Father. Breakthrough with their destiny and their walk with You and their purpose with You, Father. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I declare it this morning over this congregation, over Your people, Father, for You are the Lord of breaks. I ask right now that You will cause breakthrough to come as we wait for You. Strengthen our hearts, Lord. Strengthen our hearts this morning in this place, and we will give You all the praise. We will give You all the glory. Somebody give Him a shout like you believe it. Yeah, we believe, Lord. that you will hear our cry. We wait for you. We wait for you, Lord. Touch the hearts of these precious people, Lord. My heart, my wife's heart, my family's heart, Lord, let us wait for you. This congregation, our families, our loved ones, that one person that we've been praying for so long, Father, in our families, every one of us, we all have that one person, Father. Lord, touch them. We wait for you, Lord. We don't need to send them anywhere. We wait for you, Lord. We wait for you. We wait for you, Father, this morning in this place. And we love you so much because we know that you are the only answer. You are the only answer, for surely you are the Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. We worship you this morning, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We exalt you. There is none like you. Now I pray, Father, as we prepare to go home, that you will bless every person, that you will touch them, Lord, as they leave, that they will go with the peace of God, and that you will bring us back tonight as we worship and go deeper into the things of the Spirit with you. We love you, we praise you, and worship you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.